We are continuing to speak on breakthrough faith and the focus particularly on our testimony, our story. If you have a Bible, we're going to read Psalm 71, just verses 15 and 16. Psalm 71, verses 15 and 16. Okay, reading from verse 15. I will tell everyone about your righteousness. All day long I will proclaim your saving power. Though I am not skilled with words, I will praise your mighty deeds, O sovereign Lord. I will tell everyone that you alone are just. I will tell everyone about your righteousness. All day long I will proclaim your saving power. Even though I'm not skilled with words, I will still praise your mighty deeds, O sovereign Lord, and tell everyone that you alone are just. Is our testimony important? Is our story important? Of course it is. It's a story of what God has done in your life. Our stories remind us of God's faithfulness, his goodness, his provision, his peace when the times when we needed it. It's a reminder of what God has done in the past, but it's also a reminder that we can have hope in God for the future. As he did in the past, he can do it again. The book of Judges there warns us what happens when we neglect to pass on our stories of what God has done. You know, we had Moses who led the people of Israel out of Egypt. We saw the opening of the Red Sea there. We saw the plagues. We saw how God delivered his people. We saw the cloud of fire, or the pillar of fire, and the cloud that protected them, the manna that came, the water from the rock, God's provision. It even says that their shoes did not wear out, or as it says, their clothes or their shoes did not wear out. Goodness me, 40 years in there, their shoes did not wear out, and I'm thinking, I want a pair of those shoes. That's what I need, shoes that don't wear out. And Joshua, he takes over, and they see the walls of Jericho coming down, they see the enemy defeated. And those surely must be stories that people need to hear. We would be telling that, we would be setting up a ministry, wall come down, Jericho ministries, whatever. We would be proclaiming it. But in Judges chapter 2 and verse 10, it says there, after that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. After that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for us. What a challenge, I believe, for the church to tell our stories. That the importance for parents teaching their children, that was what the people of Israel were called to do, teach your children, that they would teach their children. They would teach their children, and what God had done in the past would be passed on through all of history or all of the future. And you know, for us, as parents, bringing our children up in the ways of God, teaching them the ways of God. Okay, for us now, say, well, my kids have all grown up. They're working or they're married, they're away somewhere. How does that affect me now? I do believe for us, as we gather together, as we share coffee together, as we meet together, we're sharing our stories. We're telling of what God has done. Do you know, there is things that God has did in you that's a miracle. And that needs to get out. That needs to be shared with people, because there's people in, probably even beside you, that's waiting on a miracle, that's waiting on the provision, that's needing some patience and wondering, is God going to come through for me? And you're sitting there, and God has come through for you. God has proved himself to you, and you can bring hope, I believe, to other people. Our testimony can bring hope. And so I am trying to just get us to be a bit more intentional about our story. As I said last week, and I will say it this week, whenever you meet together for a coffee or you're out walking in the park, you be the one that just says to someone, so what's your story? So what's your story? Maybe even bolder to say, guys, let me tell you my story. Let me tell you what God has done for me. And yes, part of it is witnessing. Part of it is sharing a story to people who don't believe and just saying what God has done in your life. But also it's that encouraging message for one another. God brought me through. God did this in me. And he can do it in you. The man that Jesus met, the demoniac, the man who was demon-possessed, and Jesus restored him back. And this man was pleading with Jesus, let me go with you, Jesus. I want to go with you. I want to travel with you. What did Jesus do? This was an opportunity for Jesus to gather more followers, to get a crowd, or just letting people know, look at the crowd I've gathered. But Jesus told them, no, go back home. Luke chapter 8, verse 39. No, go back to your family and tell them everything that God has done for you. So he went all through the town proclaiming the great things that Jesus has done for him. Has Jesus did any great things for you? A few of us. If he has, share your story. It doesn't have to be a big, massive, long story. It's simple provision or whatever. Or just even, that God, you know, I just sense God's love for me. That's a story. You know, I just feel God's blessing. God has just blessed my life. As I look back in my life, this is a part of what you could be saying. I've just known God's provision, his blessing. He's always faithful, never leaves me. I've always felt his presence there. All through the Gospels, you would hear people who came looking for Jesus. Why did they come looking for Jesus? Why did they crowd out the house where they thought Jesus was staying? Because they heard the stories of what Jesus had done, and they wanted some of it. They were hungry to see the man who healed, the man who came and raised the dead. And when soon as he healed or raised Lazarus, there was people wanting to see Lazarus. Oh, okay, I want to go and see the man who was raised from the dead. Lazarus could have started a ministry. Raised from the dead ministries. I am the one. You know, and sad to say that some of the religious leaders wanted to kill Lazarus because he was proof of Jesus' power. But stories, you are a living testimony to what God can do in your life. Charles Spurgeon, anyone heard of Charles Spurgeon? Spoke powerfully on the desperate need to share about the mighty acts of God. He said that one of the missing ingredients in the church is, yes, the power of testimony. He spoke from Psalm 44:1 that says, O God, we have heard with our own ears. Our ancestors have told us all of all you did in their day, in the days of long ago. They were passing on their stories. They were telling of God's goodness. Hymn writers, I love the old hymns. There, hymn writers, they were writing their hymns out of the brokenness and the heartache that sometimes they were going through. Their experience with God, just his blessing and his faithfulness, and so blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. I mean, some of the words in these hymns are living testimony to God's goodness and what he has done. Men and women in the Bible, they're recounting stories of what God has done, and the Psalms, full of them, of what God, songs of deliverance, Moses, Miriam, Deborah, who all wrote songs of God's deliverance. They were getting the story out. They were proclaiming. I do believe we have to. I'm encouraging us to start to build in a culture of sharing our stories of what God has done. Do you know, if you've not got a story, get into the Bible and you will find stories. Do you know, get beside people and just say, do you know, I was reading this morning. Do you know what I mean? And then just start sharing some verses that has just blessed you. That is sharing stories of what God has done, what God can do, what God, I believe, will do when we put our trust and our faith in him. Bill Johnson, a quote from him, he says about testimony, he says, keeping the testimony means that I diligently preserve the record of what God has done in the past until it becomes the lens through which I see present circumstances. As God did it before, that brings me hope for today, because I know he can do it today. He's did it in the past. It becomes the lens for what we see in our circumstances and our situations. You still with me? You know, I sometimes wonder, it would be good, you know, when we say, okay, we're going to have a ministry time, we just say, okay, just turn to people and just start sharing the story. That would be a great ministry time, would it not? Maybe not do it today, but one of these days. Larry Sparks, don't know if you know who he is, just an author, pastor. He says, our testimony not only sustains us personally and gives us a God confidence going into our present circumstances, but it also has the power to give others supernatural confidence, empowering them to stare impossibilities in the face and know that the same God who moved in the past for us will move again for them. Do you know, stories are powerful. Stories, I believe, ignite passion and ignite that hunger for more of God. I love reading just some of the stories of what God has done in revivals. Can I read you just a couple? Is that all right? Well, I am anyway. You know, Scotland has seen its share of revivals. And one thing I didn't realize as I've been reading and studying revivals is Dundee, 1839, had a revival. There, 1839. And I'm saying, God, it's been long enough. God, we need another revival. And it is going to take people who are praying and seeking God there. Among those converted at the Hebridean revival, the following night was a 15-year-old boy who became an outstanding helper in the revival. He became a frontline prayer warrior. Goodness me, 15. Duncan Campbell called at his home one day and found him on his knees in the barn with an open Bible before him. And when Duncan Campbell interrupted him, the little boy said, "Excuse me, Mr. Campbell, I'm having an audience with the King." Some of the most vivid outpourings of the Spirit during the revival came when he was asked to pray. In the police station in Barvis, he stood up one night, simply clasped his hands together and uttered one word, "Father." Everyone came down, was melted to tears as the presence of God invaded the house. In Callendish, he prayed until the power of God laid hold of those who were dead in their sins, transforming them into living stones in the church of Jesus Christ. Wow. Stories. One night, Duncan Campbell was staying in Stornoway when he saw a girl. When this girl had a vision of a woman in agony of soul 20 miles away. Duncan was informed that he ought to go and see this woman. And without any thought of his own rest or safety, he got on his motorbike and went to the village and found exactly as he had been told. And he brought a word to the woman of deliverance and reintroduced the woman to God. One last one. Duncan Campbell met a butcher and they called him the praying butcher. Duncan never left the island without visiting praying men who had meant so much to him in the revival and with whom he had such an affinity of spirit. Calling to see one of the men, a butcher, he arrived at the house to hear him in the barn praying for grease. He could not understand what the interest in a butcher in Lewis could have with grease. So he asked him, "How did you come to be praying for grease?" And the man answered, "I don't even know where grease is, Mr. Campbell, but God told me that I had to pray for grease." 2 years later, Duncan Campbell was introduced to a man in Dublin who told him the following story. He had gone to Greece on a business trip and was asked to speak at an assembly of Christians. The Spirit of God broke out so powerfully that he continued to preach there for a few weeks. And he phoned his brother in Ireland with instructions to look after the business because he was preaching there. Duncan looked at the dates and discovered that the movement in Greece began on the same day that the butcher was praying. Coincidence. The price for heaven sent revivals has never changed. We need a revival in spite of the demands of our home and work. I am believing, for me, what these revivals do, what reading these revivals do, they spark something in me. And I'm trying to start a fire here. No, not doing it. Oh. Stories of revival. As we read them, something happens in us. Just staying away from the smoke alarm. Something happens in them. Stories of revival. They bring hope. They stir up hope. Passion for God. Desire to pray. A hunger for prayer. A hunger for more of God. To believe again. God, to get on our own stories. Jesus and Emmaus Road. As Jesus brought the word, what was it that was raised there? What happened in the two disciples? Didn't our hearts burn within me? We all have a story. I received a commission from God to encourage the people of God. That was my commission from God. When the Holy Spirit broke out in Glasgow Elam, I was not for it. I had a moan at Annette, told her we need to do something about this. Annette would go forward, touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. Nothing for me. Nothing. And I was thinking, goodness me, this isn't God. And I knew it wasn't God. And I've said this before, the stories. I knew it wasn't God because on a Sunday morning, the pastor decided to move all the chairs on a Sunday morning. They moved the chairs on a Sunday morning. Yes, Sylvia? You don't move chairs on a Sunday morning. That's for the people. That's to hear the word. And they moved the chairs, and I was so offended. But God was after me. And I was invited to go on a trip down to Sunderland. And I knew down there that the Holy Spirit was moving. I did not want to go anywhere near that place, nearly having a fight with Annette. Just say, "Well, you go, I'm not going." Well, come on, we're all going. Went down to Sunderland. In the church, Holy Spirit's moving, pastors asking for testimonies. And I am like, get me out of here. And he starts asking, is the Holy Spirit moving in across the nations? Where is it meeting? Where is the Holy Spirit moving? Is it moving in Glasgow? Yes, some of the people were shouting out. Okay, I want to hear the stories. Annette's best friend was asked to go out and share about the stories. I seen Audrey up. You all know Audrey walking out, walking to the front of the church, got to the speaker, collapsed to the ground under the power of the Holy Spirit. Ken Gott was the man who was speaking there, says, okay, well, just let the Holy Spirit move in this girl. What about someone else? The next person in line couldn't get out of their seat. They're like, I can't move. I can't move. And I'm like, get out of there, move. Can't move. So, sorry, I can't move. I'm stuck. I'm like, it's a seat, for goodness sake. Okay, let's have the next person. They stood and down they went. And now you've got three along. And I'm thinking, somebody get out there and tell this man what is happening in Glasgow, because I don't believe this is God. But and all the eyes went down, mine's included. Who was the first person to look up? It was me. He looked me straight in the eye and says, you look as if you've got it all together. Why don't you come out and tell me what the Holy Spirit is doing in Glasgow? And here I was walking towards the front, towards this man, thinking, what am I going to say to this man? Because I'm not even sure this is God. Okay, I'll just do what we normally do. I'll just lie and say, yeah, God is blessing us. We are wonderful times. But thinking, I can't lie in church. I can't lie at all. I don't lie outside. Walking to that front, I turn round and he's put the mic in my face and says, so tell us, what is God doing in Glasgow? Tell us how the Holy Spirit's moving. And the words come out of my mouth, things like this are happening, but I do not believe this is God. Silence. The speaker said, that's okay. Would you mind if we prayed for you? Well, you can't really say no in front of 800 people. And so I said, yes, okay. And I stood and he prayed. And the Holy Spirit came powerfully on me. And I began to shake under the power of the Holy Spirit. And I sat there. I could hear everything that was going on. I said, get a seat for this man. And just someone keep praying for him. And I sat there in a seat, shaking in front of 800 people for the rest of the service. The amount of people that came up at the end says, so do you believe in the Holy Spirit now? Do you know, there was part of me thinking, could this be God? I'm not sure. I have not seen this working. But my story was that I just kept going. I kept persevering, even through my doubts, my disappointments, my times when Annette and I get prayed for and she would go down and I would be standing there like, goodness me, what's going on? And God took me on a journey with the Holy Spirit. Do you know, and one more story, as a meeting finished, we were going for dinner, my best friend says, I just feel that I have to pray for you, Stephen, before we go for dinner. And he laid hands on me and he prayed, come Holy Spirit. I just prayed, Holy Spirit, come and touch Stephen. And I started running on the spot, couldn't stop. I tried, I couldn't stop. And God took me on a journey, a vision that lasted 1 hour. I used to run. And I had this picture of myself on a beach, and I could hear from Chariots of Fire, we all know the film, Run with the Wind, or Run Like the Wind. Run like the wind, Stephen, run like the wind. And then I just felt God just say, you're not going to run like the wind, you're going to run with the wind of the Holy Spirit. You're going to run. And God took me on a journey, and I was transported in this vision onto a running track, because I was a runner. And I ran round this running track and I seen all these hurdles. And I'm running round and I'm going round the hurdles because I'm not wanting to jump them. And I'm going round. And the next thing in my vision, there was an angel beside me. And he said, why are you not jumping the hurdles? And I says, because I can't. And he says, well, you can, because with the Holy Spirit in you, you can. And so I started running around and I started running and jumping over these hurdles. And then the Holy Spirit stopped me, or the angel stopped me and said, I want to walk and I want you to look at the hurdles. And on the hurdles was words, fear of man, regrets, hurts, pain. And God was saying, I am healing you of all these things in your life. Was saying to me that you can overcome them with the power of the Holy Spirit. And God was doing a work in me. God was doing a work in me. Here was a reluctant young man. Well, I was a bit in my 30s, I think. They're reluctant with things of the Holy Spirit, but just says, okay, God. And God took me on a journey. And I ran round that track in this vision, jumping over every hurdle, becoming more freer and more freer and more freer and more freer. Next thing, I'm on this field. I'm on a field and I'm running. And I could see this white tent just in the distance. And I am running towards this tent and I am getting tired. And the next thing I know, there's an angel beside me and they're saying, use the horse. And I'm going, what horse? And then in my vision, I saw a horse. Now, this is all a vision that's taking place. And I got on this horse and I knew that there was a tent there. I could see it and I had to get to this tent. And I managed to get to this tent and I went in. And the only thing I know was for this tent that was Jesus was in this tent. And I got off this horse and I saw myself getting into this tent, pure white. And the only words were spoken over my life, Stephen, encourage my people. Stephen, encourage my people. That was it. And I came out. Suddenly there's people scattered all over. This huge line of people. And I'm walking about them in this vision saying, we're going for God. God is faithful. God is good. He is with you. And then the vision stopped. Nothing. I stopped running on the spot. And I looked and I had been running on the spot for 1 hour. 1 hour. It was 7 o'clock. We prayed for me at 6. It was 7 o'clock. God was just powerfully just working on my life. His commission, encourage my people. The Holy Spirit. You know, my experience may not be your experience. But I believe God wants us all to encounter his Holy Spirit. These are days of revival. Our stories are a testimony of God's work in our lives. So, in finishing, make your story a priority. Tell the stories of what God is doing. And if God is, if you're struggling to get a story, just say, God, give me a story. Holy Spirit, do something in my life where I can share with others. Worship helps us into that, getting into the Word of God, getting the Word of God into us, making room for the Holy Spirit. Talk about your salvation. Talk about the breakthroughs, the freedom that God has brought into your life. And just start, I believe, to start fires of in people in their lives. Your story is important. I've not asked you to do this for a while, so turn to someone and say, your story is important. Your story is important. Stories. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak it out. Tell others that he has redeemed you from your enemies. God is on the move. I believe God has this nation in sight and wanting to do something in this nation. I believe we are at the cusp of something there. And I believe there's a stirring in people to pray and to seek the face of God, to see an outpouring. And my prayer is that God will stir in you and stir a hunger in you. Let's stand. I've said enough. I'm going to ask the band to come back. And please be encouraged to share your story. We only have so much time that we can get people up here. And it's great hearing them publicly. But get with your friend. Tell them your story. Come on, if you're comfortable, be in a posture. Put your hands out. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Do you know when God moves? I do believe he does look at some things. Do you know, in the Bible it talks about the eyes of the Lord roam the earth, looking for those whose hearts are fully devoted to him. I believe that when God is looking, he is looking for men and women who are positioning themselves, who are aligning themselves with his heart, whether it's through hunger, desire. You know, you may not have ever experienced the Holy Spirit like others have experienced or what I've been sharing about. But there is just something in you that's thinking that there is more. There is more. There is more. God, I want more. There must be more. You know, as I've said, God hasn't just saved us for heaven, but he wants us to live our lives for him on earth. There is people who don't know Jesus, and God wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit. You need his Holy Spirit. If you've got kids in the kids club, I was going to ask you if you would go and get them. We're just going to just wait a few moments. Just as the music's playing, we will sing in a minute. How much do you want of God? How much do you want? Do you need more of him? He's also needing more of you. And it's all to do with surrendering our lives to him in devotion to him. So even just before we sing, why don't you tell God, either in your head or softly, God, I want more of you. God, I want more of you. And really what that is saying is asking God to help you become more aware of His presence in your life. Do you know, I am more aware now than I was when I first became a Christian, of God's presence and His power and His love and His grace, what He has saved me from, what He saved me into. I am more aware. I am more aware. And as the band sing, I'm going to invite you just to come forward if you want more of God.